thank God for saving me. Thank Him for the camp meeting, for all He's given me. I've never ever done this song in live.
You'll be all right.
I wrote this a few months ago. I don't even have a title to it, but God put it on my heart about, if you ever think about it, how God's always there, and how He's never on vacation, never takes a day off.
Amen.
How He's never gone. He's always right there. And I've never called before He didn't answer.
That's right.
As a Christian, it's not possible to imagine God not there.
Yeah, go ahead.
He is just as far away as the smallest prayer. Never leave nor forsake thee. Let you to my begging for bread.
Amen.
What if He spoke? He wasn't there.
Go ahead,
what if He called?
Him hallelujah.
And He didn't hear.
Be
what if He locked heaven's door? Jesus didn't intercede anymore. Would you notice Him gone?
that say amen. Man, that's good, Wanks. I appreciate it. That's a good song, isn't it? What if you call and the Lord didn't answer, buddy? We're just used to Him being there all the time. What if He's gone? What if you woke up one morning, said Lord, and somebody said, the Lord gone off to another universe to create people? Quit fooling. That'd be bad. Best thing you could do then, just shoot yourself. Amen. But what a blessing that was. All right, let's take just a minute. And I'm not going to keep you long tonight because I know I appreciate all y'all being here with the kids. And because, you know, I know you're wore out. But let's take just a minute and say, who got a blessing? Lord done something for you at the camp meeting. And you just want to stand up and brag on Him and give Him the glory. Maybe, you know, it's not just off of emotion, but He really done something. You just want to stand up and thank the Lord for camp meeting, or He answered a prayer, or just something. Just pop up, pop off. Let's just have a couple right quick, and then I'm going to preach. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey. Fear.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, brother. What about that?
Kind of silver deal, God told me, he said, pass. He said, pass enough. So I'm going to start tomorrow. I've got my book.
Amen. Amen.
I'll do a 14-day pass. So you got to pray for me. I just pray that I'll be smart enough to go through a door when it opens. I just pray I'll do the right thing.
Amen. Amen. Come on, brother. Amen. Somebody else, right quick. Right quick. Pop up. Pop off. Pop down. Go ahead, Brother Clark. Hallelujah. Boy, it has. Anybody else? Right quick. Lord done something for you. You just want to stand up and brag on him right quick. We'll take another one too. Right quick. Anybody else? Anybody else? Right quick. Go ahead, mister. What about that?
You know, I seen that girl here. I thought
she was saved, and I thought the best I could do is just
Amen. And I got
saved. Woo! Amen. That girl getting saved this morning topped it all off. Go ahead, sister. Amen. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord, sister. You know, her standing up reminded me, to remind y'all again, I talked to Brother Danny Cannon's daughter, Paige, on the way down the church tonight. She called me this evening, and it scared me when she called. But I called her back, and she said he's worse. He's worse. He's really, really weak. He's got some kind of strange something where your nerves don't tell your limbs to move. He's paralyzed. Can't move. Can't talk. Can't eat. Nothing. And I mean, he was in perfect health just the other day, and so y'all, he's in bad shape. Bad shape. She said she was afraid to leave him, afraid she might not ever see him again alive. And he's pastored at church 20 years down. I preached down there many, many times. And he's just probably in his early 50s and healthy. And so y'all remember him in prayer. Anybody else? Right quick. Might be your last chance. Brag on the Lord. Amen. All right. Okay, let's take our Bible and open to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 4 this evening. Y'all pray for me preaching down in Monroe, North Carolina, tomorrow night. I ask the Lord just to bless. His will be done. Don't miss the service Wednesday night. Come praying. Bring somebody with you. And God will bless you for you. Just a tad, brother. Lord bless you. If you'll be here Wednesday night, our kids' Bible class back in the full swing this week. And thank the Lord for it. Also, bus workers, I need everybody's name and address before you leave tonight. If you help in any way in the bus ministry, name and address, just write on a piece of paper and give it to me tonight before you leave. And they're going to want them at the bus conference. The bus conference is November the 3rd, about 6 o'clock. We're taking a bus. We'll take everybody that wants to go. They're feeding us. And it's down in Gastonia. They have a lot of good stuff for bus workers. And then we gain an hour that night, so you still get home early. That's time change Sunday. And it's my birthday the next day, too, so I expect everybody to go for my birthday. All right, Job chapter number 4. I announced my birthday on the radio. I was making radio programs that day, and I was just waiting, and it just hit me, so I said it. I said, all you people listening out there, it's going to be my birthday Sunday, so send me a present. Ain't no use being shy about it. All right, Job chapter 4. You know, somebody, poor old person like me, live by myself, you have to beg for anything. Don't get no attention. Job chapter number 4. And look here in verse number 1. Job chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking?" Now, look here what he tells Job. "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled." Now, I'm going to use that as thought tonight, and I'm going to preach on that subject just real short tonight, and I'll let you go. Easy to preach and hard to practice. There's some things in life that are so easy to preach to each other and everybody else, but when it comes our turn, it's extremely hard to practice. This will help every one of us here tonight if we'll let this truth sink down deep in our heart. Job, the man of God, as you know, was the one of the richest men in the world. Gene said something about last night about hating rich people and everything. And it's easy to hate rich people. You're jealous of them. And you don't want to admit it's jealousy, but most of the time when you don't like somebody, you're jealous of them. But the truth is, if a man's worked for what he's got and he's done it honestly, more power to him. Amen? Amen. And some of the greatest men in the Bible were rich men. Abraham, David, Solomon, Job, people like that. Well, Job had everything a person wanted. And he had all those sons and daughters, and 10 of them, I believe, and he had sheep and camels and oxen. And one day old Job sitting there, boy, and he had a steak that thick for dinner, and he had his house was air conditioned. He had these guys sitting around these big palm branches going like that, you know. You know, if it get real hot, they go like that. If it got real hot, they go like, hey, just turn it up a little higher. And if he wanted to, he'd be like one of them kings over there where he just lay back like that, you know, and somebody dropped grapes in his mouth or whatever. Had it made. Had every kind of luxury that money could buy in that day. And old Job, I'm telling you what, he had everything. And according to this scripture tonight, Job had evidently been a counselor. He had instructed many. No doubt Job was probably the adult Sunday school teacher down at the big synagogue. I don't know if he might have been a pastor. I don't know. But anyway, it said he instructed many. And I don't know if he's a preacher, but he sure taught some people. And I imagine he they'd have him to speak sometime in the city council meetings or something. And they'd come in and they'd say, here he is, the greatest man in the East, Job. And Job would stand up there and he'd say, now here's how to make a living, and here's how to file your taxes, and here's how to do it. And by the way, if you have any marriage trouble, I'll help you with that too. And if you have any trouble with your rebellious teenagers, I'll help you with that. A very smart man, very brilliant man. Old Job, it said he had instructed many. And then he said he had also said that the Bible told him that his words had upholden him that was fallen. Somebody's about ready to backslide, old Job will go over and say, now look, you better not do that. You better straighten up and get right with God. You better repent, boy. His words had upheld that one that was fallen. Not only that, the Bible said that old Job, he had strengthened the weak hands and the feeble knees. And somebody would be saying, I just don't know if I can make it. I'm just about getting old Job come along and say, ah, you can do better than that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Trust God. Live for God. Pray, fast, read your Bible. And they'd say, yes, sir, Job, you've really helped me. And the Bible said this old boy told him, he'd done all of that. But one day, Job, some men come in one day, and he comes knocking on the door, and they're like, yeah, Mr. Job, Mr. Job, Mr. Job. And he said, what? He said, I got bad news. I ain't got them all right. But anyway, he said, all you camels is out there just behaving the way a camel's supposed to do out there on the hill. And he said, the awfulest thunderstorm ever was come, lightning struck some, killed all your camels. They're all gone. And Job said, no, No, all my camels are gone. He said, that's right. And Job thought, my goodness, man, that's a lick. I mean, them things worth a lot of money. And he just started thinking about it about that time. Somebody else knocked on the door. Mr. Job, Mr. Job. He said, what? He said, you sheep are burned up. He said, the Sabians come and got them and stole them and got your sheep. You have no sheep. All your livestock is gone. Job said, no. No, my camels are gone. My sheep's gone. And then, knock on the door. Mr. Job, Mr. Job, Job. He said, what? He said, you know, he said, I got bad news. He said, all your sons and daughters in one of them's house having a little get together. And he said, lightning struck and the tornado come or something. And he said, it killed every one of them. All your sons and daughters are gone. All of them dead. And Job sat down and began to cry. He lost his sheep. He lost his camel. You think you've had it rough? You think you've had some bad days? You think you've had some disappointments in your heartache? How would you like to lose all your children and all your livestock and everything you have in one day? And then about that time, the devil goes up to God and says, you let me touch his flesh, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, no, all right, you go ahead, but you can't kill him. He woke up the next morning thinking about all them 10 caskets, had to go down there to the funeral home and figure out all them funeral arrangements and buy caskets and everything. Camel's gone, sheep's gone, realtors calling him, stockholders calling him, businessmen calling him, bill collectors calling him, kids dead. And about that time, he said, Lord, I'm a hurting right over here. And he had a big old boil come up, like a fever blister. You ever had a fever blister? And got out there, a big old fever blister come up. There was one. There was one. There was one. There was one. I mean, big old oozing sores. I mean, big old nasty. I mean, just old oozing sores. Where old junk just runs out of them. And, but I'll tell you, he couldn't lay down. If he laid this way, it hurt. If he laid that way, it hurt. If he laid the other way, it hurt. And the devil put forth his hand. You know, sometimes God will let the devil just have you for a little while. And I told, there's a man here in this church. Right now, the devil's fighting him. Death turned loose on him. I told that man the other day, I said, God must have a lot of confidence in you, brother, because God is allowing you to go through a terrible time of sorrow and heartache. And you know what? Old Job took it down, took it down, took it down, took it down. And boy, he got worse and worse and worse. You say, well, Lordy mercy, Brother Danny, I've lost my marriage. Listen, he lost everything but his wife, and it'd probably been better off if the devil had got her. And I don't mean that bad. I'm just saying she added to his misery. She come up and said, why don't you just cuss God and die? What a helpmate. What an encouragement from your spouse. He's laying there one time and she come up and said, your breath stinks. That's what it said. That's what it said. And that's why the Lord left her. She was part of his punishment. That's awful, isn't it? But it's true. I mean, brother, if the sons die, the daughter die, and she stayed there to torment him. And brother, he went up, and old Job looked down, and that's why Eliphaz came to Job, and he said, Job, he said, you strengthen the weak knees. Job, you counseled all these people having trouble. Job, you helped all these people, and now it's come to you, Job, and you faint. Now it's your turn to suffer. You're going through what all them people is going through, and you ain't doing so good. You know what he was saying to Job? It's easy to preach, but it's hard to practice when it comes your way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you just might as well get this little truth through your head. I ain't never heard nobody preach on this, but I've been thinking about it a lot lately. You might as well get it through your head. It's easy for you to preach to somebody else and tell them how they ought to do when you ain't got no pain and you ain't got no bill and your bills are paid and you got money in the bank. Am I right? Nod your head. It's easy to look over and judge somebody else because they ain't doing exactly like you think they ought to be doing. But you put yourself in your shoes or their shoes with their problems and their wife or their husband or their house or their job. You liable to do as bad or worse than they're doing. Say amen right there. You better be careful about preaching to everybody. You might get a chance to practice what you've been preaching. You know what he told Job? He said, now you're touching you, Job, and you fainted. It's easy for me to sit here with my belly full and say, you people ought to be fasting. It's easy. But man, when I start fasting, my belly says, let's eat. Yeah. Fool, you're killing me. And I'll say, shut up! And my belly says, but Brother Danny, you have higher metabolism than other people, so you can't fast too long. I say, shut up! And my belly said, now it's not going to do any good if you don't have a lot of energy to preach, so you better go ahead and eat. You see, it's easy for me to look at y'all and say, boy, y'all ought to fast. But when it's me, my belly argues with me all day long. You ever go around talking to your belly? That's you really, really, really in bad shape. You need help. If you go around talking to your belly. But that's what a Christian has to do sometimes. It's easy. It's easy to say, you ought to do this, or you ought to do that, or you ought not to do this, or you ought not to do that, when you ain't having that problem. But when it comes your way, you get a change. And by the way, folks, I've noticed this. I've been pastoring a long time. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll give you a chance to practice all them hard rules you put on everybody else. He'll give you your chance. You will get your chance to practice what you preach. The Lord hears you say it, and the devil hears you say it. Somehow or another, God will allow a situation to come up where you say, all right, you told them to do it, now let's see you do it. You judged her, now let's see how you do it. I'll give you some examples, and we'll go. I don't have an outline, but I do have some thoughts. In the book of Acts, chapter number 15, verses 38, 39, and 40. Let's turn over there just a second tonight to the book of Acts here just for a minute tonight. And look here, this will help you grow as a Christian. The book of Acts, chapter number 15, and here in Acts chapter 15, look at verse number 38. Acts chapter 15, verse 38. Well, let's look at verse 37. Here we have Paul and Barnabas, two good friends. Good friends. Old Paul and Barnabas were good friends. They traveled together. They preached together. They worked side by side for years. But look what happened in verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take them with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed one asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. You know what you just read? The greatest apostle in the history of the Christian church argued so much with his best friend that they couldn't even work together. What's that? The contention was so sharp. You know what I think when I read that verse? I think, Paul, didn't you write all them scriptures about forbearing one another in love? And getting along with each other and bending over and preferring one another. I want to say, hey, Paul, what was that you wrote about there? You know what he'd say? He'd say, that was the Holy Ghost inspired me to write this. This is real life. I'm mad at him. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm mad. That's the way Christians get. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas got in an argument. And it don't really say either one of them was right. It don't really say either one of them was wrong. They just disagreed. When you have a disagreement with each other, you have a chance to practice what you preach. Are you going to forgive and forget? Or are you going to say the contention is so sharp, I'll just go somewhere else to church? Well, I got news for you. I got news for you. When you go to that other church, the contention's going to be there with somebody else. And again, by the way, I can show you in the Bible where later on in the ministry, them boys got back together. It took them a while to grow up and forgive each other, but they finally made amends. Get right. You know, I got preacher friends of mine all over this country that are so mad at me over one thing and another. It might be doctrine, it might be something personal, it's something like that, and they're mad as fire. And one at a time, I get a phone call about once every 6 months. Brother Danny, I just want you to know I love you, brother, and I've said some bad things about you, and I know God's blessing you, and I want to be right with the Lord. I said, man, don't worry about it. I've said things about you too. Forget about it. Let's let it go. Listen. That stuff's easy to preach and hard to practice when it's your turn to go through it. It's easy to preach to people. You ought to get along with each other until you get your feelings hurt. See? I can tell Jeremy, y'all ought to get along with each other. Y'all ought to forgive each other. Come on, Jeremy, don't hold it. But boy, when he gets on my bad side, he's full of the devil. It ain't me, that's for sure. It couldn't be me, could it? No! He's wrong, I'm right! You know what? You know what Peter said one time? Peter told the Lord, Lord, had all these disciples around one time, and the Lord said, now this is going to happen, they're going to betray me, and they're going to... And Peter said, not me, Lord! I'll die for you. Ain't that what he said? He ought not to said that. Buddy, he jumped up. I mean, all the front row is full of young preachers. And Peter jumped up and said, they might all backslide, but not me. I'm here for the duration. You can count on me. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord said, he said, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times, say you don't even know me. That's easy to preach, but it's hard to practice. Listen, it's easy to tell people to trust God when they're sick. You wait till you get sick. Like him with cancer. He amazes me, Bodo. He really does. He's helped my faith just watching how he's handling this. Really, he has. I mean, I don't know if I'd handle it that good if I had what he's got. And I mean, maybe he's faking at church. I don't know. But I tell you one thing, brother, you've been a blessing to me. I'm telling you, I hope that I could be that positive if I had cancer. I do, man. I mean, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, glory to God, pray and believe God, though, because I ain't got it that I know of. Yeah. If I had it, I might be like, oh God, you've forsaken me, God, where are you? Listen, it's so easy to want to straighten everybody else out and tell everybody else how to live. But boy, when it hits us, I've heard people say, well, you just need to talk things out and work things out in your marriage. And then when they have marriage trouble, it's a different story, ain't it? I've heard preachers get up and beat people over the head who were divorced. Matt, you do know that most, in a lot of churches like ours, independent Baptist churches, most independent Baptist preachers in this area believe that if you're divorced, you can never, ever remarry for any reason. Anybody. That's what they believe. And they're wrong. They're wrong, and you know they're wrong, and I know they're wrong. God knows they're wrong. But they've been taught that. That's an old Catholic doctrine that crept into our Baptist churches, because God does allow for divorce in the right circumstances. He does. God don't like divorce. God don't approve of divorce. And anybody in their right mind hates divorce. If you don't hate divorce, you're backslid. You're supposed to hate it. But when it happened, I've heard preachers get up and say, "But I mean, they'll take an 18-year-old girl or boy who maybe got out of God's will, married the wrong person when they're lost, when they're 17, stayed together two months, and got divorced, and they'll sit there and look at them and say, you can't never get married the rest of your life. They're 19 years old. You know why they can say that? Because they got a wife to go home to that night. That's easy to preach. Let it happen to them and watch them change their tune. I've seen them. Let it happen to them. And they say, well, I look at it a little bit different now. Yes, sir, you sure do look at it different. And I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, you better watch pointing your finger at somebody condemning them, because it's liable to come your turn one of these days, and you just liable to do as bad as they are, or maybe even worse. Peter said, I'll die for you. You know what the Lord said? Peter, you're going to deny me three times. So you know what the Lord was really saying? Peter said, I'll die for you. The Lord said, Peter, you ain't going to die for me. You won't even live for me. All these people who are willing to die for the Lord won't even live for Him. I don't reckon we'll die for Him, but we won't live for Him. Amen. I heard a man say one time, they were talking about TV and preacher preached against TV, and I heard a man standing right in front of the church, not in this church, another church, and he said, I'll never have one in my house. Now that man don't go to church, and ain't no telling what he's done, and his family's all busted up. His daughter tried to commit suicide, and his son's out of God's will, and he got a TV not very long after he said that. Let me give you a little good rule to go by. Never say never. Don't you ever say, I'd never do that. You better not say that. The devil's listening when you say that. I'm telling you, I'm giving you some good advice. And you say, by the grace of God, I want to live for Him till I die. You can say that. You can say, by the help of the Lord, I want to live right till Jesus comes. You can say that. But don't you ever stand up and say, I'd never do what they did. I've heard a lot of people say that, and there's the next one that did it. That's what the man said. He said, I'd never do that. I heard one say one time, we got liquor boated in up Marion, and one of the preachers got mad. He said, I tell you what, I'll never buy gas at one of these stores. Well, he does all the time now. Be careful about sticking your neck out and trying to sound real spiritual and bold. You better think about what you say before you say it, and you better not, don't try to make big bold statements to try to impress everybody how spiritual you are. One man said, I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you one thing. If she's going to marry him, I'll never come to their house. Kin folks. Or if he's going to marry her, I'll never. You better not say that. Christmas is coming. Grandkids is coming. You can't disown your family just because they do something that you don't like. Or you don't say you'll never do this, you'll never do that. Now, I understand. One of my girls had married somebody that I approved of, and I didn't approve of either one of them. Now, I appreciate my sons-in-law. They do all three work, and they do go to church. I thank God for that, and they take care of them. That's good. But they ain't nobody good enough for your kids. You know what I mean? When your kids get big enough to get married, they ain't no such a person that's spiritual enough or good enough to marry one of your kids. And I appreciate them. But if one of my girls had done something very, very, very bad that I totally disapproved of, or married a lost person, or I've had people say, what if your kid married a, you know, they turn homosexual, they turn gay, something like that, what would you do? I tell you what you got to do. You got to love them and pray for them and kill them. Kill them and they won't be gay no more. No, I'm telling you, you better watch. You better watch condemning other people. Say, I'd never allow that. You better watch that kind of talk. Better watch that kind of talk. He said, I'll tell you one thing. If mine, one of mine, you better shut up. You better shut up. I'm not saying I'd never approve of it. Never would I condone it. But you've got to love your kids and you've got to love your family. That's tough, man. That's tough. May God have mercy. I hope nobody in here ever has to go through that. God have mercy on us all. I hope you never have to face it, but people do. It's easy to say, I'd do this, or I'd never do that. You better watch saying you'd never do this or that. God will give you the opportunity of the same judgment you meet coming back to you. Amen. Well, you know what Jonah did one time? Jonah said, Nineveh will be overthrown! And you know what? God, Nineveh repented and God had mercy on it and forgave them and didn't destroy them. And Jonah got mad. And he got mad and went out and sat down on the outside of the city to see if God's going to destroy them. Why don't you kill them? I done preached it. I made a fool out of myself. Kill them! And a gourd came up and growed over Jonah's head and knocked that sun off of him like that. He said, oh, thank the Lord, it feels good with this cool breeze blowing. And the next day a worm come up and eat the gourd and it died. And the son hit him and he got mad. He said, a stupid gourd. Look at what happened to it. And you know what? You know what God said? God said, Jonah, you got mad because I didn't kill them people and a worm eat that stupid gourd so the sun was going to hit you. And what kind of a person are you? He was more tore up over that flower wilting than he was all them people being destroyed. 120,000 didn't know the right hand and the left, man. They was either a little bitty or they was all retarded or something. 120,000 didn't know the right hand from the left. That's some dumb people. Probably 120,000 below the age of a little bitty. And a bunch of people. I mean, and here he was, more upset. It's kind of like people getting more upset about a scratch on their car than their neighbor going to hell. It's kind of like that. We're something. I mean, we get our priority. It's all about us and me and my feelings and who's going to hurt me and my feelings. Listen, brother, some of this stuff's easy to preach, hard to practice. Jonah should have had mercy on that. Felt like that gourd, just like God did about them people. Like a man said one time, he said, I used to have tons of advice and no kids. Now I have a bunch of kids and no advice. That's right, brother. That's it right there. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 2. Let me show you one more scripture. While you're turning there, let me tell you a couple things. I know a man who lived near me. He was a counselor for alcoholics over in Black Mountain, and he counseled people for a living to help them recover from alcoholism. That's what he done for a living and got paid for it. And this man, when he would go home at night, would get drunk. Right. Finally, a car hit him one night and killed him down not far from my house. And he could tell you how to quit drinking as good as anybody I've ever heard in my life. He counseled people. He knew the 3-step, 10-step, how to get over alcoholism, all that, and went home and got drunk every night. You know why? Because it's easy to preach at somebody else and hard to practice when you get home. Some of you people who judge some teenager maybe for getting pregnant or maybe some sexual sin, you think, that's good for now. Wonder if we knew what some of you really did or looked at or thought. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. It's easy to preach. Hard practice. Peter said, I'll die for you. Wouldn't even live for it. I hear a guy get up one time and he preach, you're going to hell if you don't straighten up and be clean, live, work. And he had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket right here. And somebody told him, they said, man, what about them cigarettes? You preaching to us, we ought to clean up our dirty habits. Well, you got them cigarettes in your pocket. And he said, well, the way I look at it, that's what that scripture over there means. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, what we do is we pick out everything we don't like about somebody else and bing, 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 bing. But if it's us, well, that's not real. I mean, that's a preference and that's just not my conviction. And the Bible don't say, you know how we do. Ain't that the way we do? If it's us, if you say something about somebody, you're gossiping. If I say something, I'm just sharing a burden. Somebody says something about you, they're gossiping. You say something about them, you're telling the truth. Well, just thought I'd help y'all out a little bit tonight. Now, let me tell you something else here's on my heart tonight. Sometimes people get mad at me. Happens every now and then. Our church is bigger now, so it don't happen as much. Happens a lot in little church, where a preacher will preach on something, and you're guilty of it, and you sit back there and think, he's talking right to me. I know he's talking to you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have thought, I know good and well Brother Danny is talking to me. Now, first of all, I don't get up here and just pinpoint people and shoot. If I ain't got enough guts to talk to you face to face, call me on the phone. Talk. If I ain't got enough, I sure ain't going to get up here and try to shoot you from the pulpit. I know preachers that do that. I do. I know preachers that use the pulpit as their way of getting back at everybody they're mad at. And it's so obvious, you know. I'll tell you one thing. I ain't going to name no names, but these people that sit on the side and in these red and white striped shirts, and they claim to be Christians, and they wear these red and white striped shirts. I'm not naming no names, but you know. You ever heard a preacher do that? I'll just come over here and say, Curtis, you're full of the devil. You know. But see, you don't do that. You don't do that. But I tell you what you'll do. If you got a sin in your life, if you're not careful, your conscience bothers you, and you'll think, that's all he ever preaches on is what I do. That's all he ever preaches. I've heard people say that. And it's not all I ever preach on. It's just that you're so sensitive. If you wasn't doing that, you would... All right, let me just make up something. All right, tithing. Let's just say tithing. Did you know if you're not paying your tithes, you seem like every Sunday he mentions that. And the reason you do, because that's a sensitive spot in your life. If you're paying your tithes, you think, I'll ask you, if you pay your tithes, you say, Lord, I don't remember if you said anything about it or not, Brother Danny. It's been maybe a few months ago. But if you don't pay it, you say, somehow or another, every Sunday, he'll work it in there somehow and say something about not paying. That's your conscience spot. It's like this. Let's say you never owned a Volkswagen Jetta, and you go buy you a Volkswagen Jetta. Have you ever noticed when you buy a Volkswagen Jetta, then you see them everywhere? There goes one. How many's ever noticed that? You say, everybody's bought one since I got one. No, they've always been there. You just don't notice it till you get one. That little old Miata I bought. Lord, I see them things everywhere. There's a Miata club, evidently. Every time I see one, they wave. And I thought, I'm in the Miata club. I don't know if I like that or not. Bunch of old perverted hippies from the 60s, wicked, ungodly people drive them things. They look like lesbians or some old pervert man. But I see them Miatas everywhere. And I love that little thing. Man, that thing's fun to drive. So I put my disguise on and drive it. But I tell you what, you know what? I never even seen one of them stupid things till I got one. And that's the way it is in church. You don't even hear it until you're doing it wrong. Then the preacher, he's like, he's talking to me. You in the Miata club. You're in the cussing club or the adultery club. And you got a sore spot there. So every time anybody says it, you think they're talking to you. You got to get over that kind of stuff. If I'm sitting here preaching, I hear it all the time. Preacher preach on radio, he'll say something about a divorce preacher or something like that. I just got to learn to live with it. Does it hurt your feelings? Yes. I got feelings too. Yeah, it hurts. But you know what? I got to learn to live with it. And just say, all right, Lord. All right, no problem. Bless me, help me. And the Lord will do it. All right, where are we at? Let's read this scripture before we go. Romans 2. Here's some hard scripture for you. Teachers, preachers especially. Here we go. Romans chapter 2, verse 21. Romans 2, verse 21. Every teacher, every preacher, every Christian, look at this. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? I mean, do you preach something to people and then do the exact thing that you tell them not to do? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? You say, no, I don't. If you look at somebody and lust after them, you do. That's what the Lord said. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. That's what I'm saying. It's easy to preach. Hard practice. Well, I'm going to say this and I'm done. The Bible said them Pharisees, they put heavy burdens on people and they wouldn't touch them with one of their fingers. It's easy to load people down and say, you ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that and you ought to pray with your children and you ought to be submissive to your husband and you ought to do this and that and not even do nothing. You're preaching to somebody else. Beware of being just a hypocrite. I'm going to say this and I'm through. What are we going to do tonight? In conclusion, this is my conclusion. I was very busy when I jotted these thoughts down. Here it is. Number one, never say never. Never say never. Don't you ever say, I'd never do this. Say, by the help of God, I want to live for Him the rest of my life. Amen. Lord, being my helper, I don't ever want to do this or do that. Be careful about saying, I'll never do that. Be careful. Number two, put the same rules on yourself that you put on everybody else. You preach yourself that same sermon you preach on everybody else. Be hard on yourself. Amen? Number three, don't make big, bold stands just to prove to people how spiritual you are, because you will get a chance to practice what you preach. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I pray that you might take this little truth here today.